This episode is brought to you by Amazon. Sometimes the most painful part of getting sick is the getting better part. Waiting on hold for an appointment, sitting in crowded waiting rooms, standing in line at the pharmacy, that's painful. Amazon One Medical and Amazon Pharmacy remove those painful parts of getting better with things like 24/7 virtual visits and prescriptions delivered to your door. Thanks to Amazon Pharmacy and Amazon One Medical, healthcare just got less painful.
Hey, psychos, you ready to podcast the shit out of it with us?
Yes.
I am Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Albinson.
And today is part two of our GalaxyCon Columbus live show. It was a very special one, very emotional one for all of us. And we get into your fan questions in the second part. So it'll be really fun, but maybe have the Kleenex ready. This was an emotional one for us, for sure. We love you, psychos. Please enjoy.
So the front door, you know, it's a little Easter egg if you recognize the kind of layout of the office, but everything just turned. So the front door wasn't there. It was that door now. The back.
You should direct because that's really smart.
Yeah, that's really good stuff.
I'm going to get right on that.
Yeah, you should get to do an episode.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so...
And it was good. Yeah, fantastic.
At the abandoned lounge, the team finds a wall of photos, including Chief Watt enjoying himself there, and Caruso's girlfriend, Scarlett Jones, ends up being me.
That's so sexy.
As me.
As the gangsters gone mall, my favorite... I mean, we all know you have some amazing wardrobe in this series, Maggie. This, you as the flashback... Scarlett Jones is just chef's kiss. It's my favorite wardrobe and hair. And that was Wendy Snowden. Didn't Wendy do your hair for this?
Who?
Wendy Snowden. Didn't she do your hair?
Makeup.
Makeup.
Yeah. And
I have on my phone, I've got that gorgeous shot of you. Like hair. It's a glam shot for the 60s. And every time I post it, Wendy will text me or Wendy will comment on my Instagram. It's like, I took that shot. Give me a photo credit, damn it.
Yeah, makeup took it for us. And
I loved that look. I've never done, I don't think on Psych I ever did a makeup test. That was so fun. We did a makeup and hair test for that.
Did you really?
Yeah.
No. Oh.
We did a practice run of it.
I remember that so clearly.
I may have demanded it.
I might have said, fine. She looks good.
I was like, this is fun. Can I start now?
Oh, God. Did you bring your extension?
I love it.
I need to. Okay, so we're in the lamplighter, right?
Yeah, we're in the lamplighter now.
And again, this one will really start morphing, right?
Scarlett Jones, yes. Gus into Miles Velour, and in another photo, we suggest questioning a living.
Lula Hill as Miles Velour.
Forget about it. Dule can do anything.
Was it something I said?
Was it something I said?
There it is. He's so good. He is so good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there were some pants that were torn during the splits.
That happens.
Okay, so we have your second transition.
Yeah.
Your turn from Lassie into Archie Baxter, right? When you're looking at the photographs on the wall, there's
that
your
is
next
the
transition.
Coolest. That is the coolest. I was like,
who the hell directed
this? Who directed this? It's amazing. That circular shot that you, and then it transforms. How do you do that?
So I think directing, if I can name one thing or just one little tidbit about directing, is finding that balance between listening and putting your foot down. Mm. This was my listening ears, is that I was talking with, how do we make this transition? How do we go and we hear, dum, 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 you know, like, how do we go into this scene? And James was like, because it's James. He's like, we can turn. I said, can we turn both of them? And so talking with James and talking with Marco and talking with...
Marco Ciccone.
He's our camera operator. If you all have listened to The Psychologist are in,
he's Psychologist Podcast.
Marco. Yeah.
And... much. So with Tom and Scott and Richard of how do I do this? I want to turn him. I want to turn him. So we had to get your turn in as Lassiter, right? Do you remember this?
Yes.
We had to shoot it, your turn, but we had to make sure that we had your exact same. So we had to take the measuring tape from your nose to the lens of the camera. All right. So we did it. It's like, okay, 14 inches or whatever it was. It wasn't. It was a little bit bigger. Anyway, so we did that. So we had to take that measurement. And so when we came back the next day and you guys were in your 1967 gear, we had the cameras locked off again. Give me that 14 inches again. Wow. I need to do that. We need to do the exact same thing we did.
Right.
But we need to recreate it. And then in the editing room.
We would all, once we heard that music playing, we knew he was rehearsing it. We all hopped out of our cast chairs and ran in there just to watch him. He's just stupid amazing.
Absolutely incredible.
What did you shoot this at? The Commodore on Granville?
Yes, the Commodore in Granville. That was like the second floor. It's a second floor old wooden stage.
Yeah.
With wooden floors.
Was this where we had our final rap party where we were all sang?
No. That wasn't at the Commodore.
Mm-mm.
No.
Apparently I've digressed.
I forget where that was.
I do too.
We're a few scenes in and I've already been given a warning on time.
Jiminy crickets. Okay. But before we head out, you mentioned Dulé. And I still am sad because that whole scene was much longer. And Dulé's performances as Miles Valour were fantastic.
They're insane.
He did go through 3 pairs of pants.
The extended version of Odyssey.
It's 7 minutes over time. So my director's
20th anniversary is coming up.
Okay, we could do it. We could do it. It's 7 minutes over time. So when I turned in my director's cut, it was like, here you go. Cutting it anymore is above my pay grade. It can't be trimmed. It can't be trimmed. And Chris Henze and Steve Frank said, watch us.
Ooh.
So they trimmed the 7 minutes. And I know there's fan questions that want to get to that. But yes, Miles Valour, Dulé went through 3 sets of pants because he can jump up and do the splits on the ground and he can hop right back up again.
I just said Dulé, he can do anything.
He can do anything.
He can do anything.
He can bring in the noise, bring in the funk.
Okay, so the fun fact.
James's accent.
That's a story.
So jumping to... Caruso, amazing James Rodriguez.
Yeah, he's so good.
Caruso, and when Miles is being accused of stealing from him, and he says, and James goes that, it's a good thing my lady loves the way you bring in the noise and bring in the funk. Which, the fun fact is, Dulé Hill was in the original company, Bring the Noise, Bring the Funk on Broadway.
That is right. Some good psych trivia.
That's good psych trivia. Another Easter egg in that episode.
Absolutely. We have a million. We have a lot.
We're only like 7 minutes in, aren't we?
We have 20 minutes left.
Jiminy crickets.
Okay. Melba Birdsong says, okay, so now we see that Melba is a living witness. Melba is a former lounger played by Loretta Devine. She is insanely good. I love her so much. Defends Chief Watt.
No, if we get these iconic people to be on our show sometimes, then I'm like, oh my God, you were the original Dream Girls.
So, yes. And she was the only one at the lounge to investigate Caruso. She reveals Miles occasionally handled Caruso's money, but denies Miles' involvement in Archie's death, though a photo connects Miles to a blue Cadillac seen near the crash. So Lassiter accuses Miles of killing Archie, which means he was...
the murdered.
That was a good one.
You know what? I have
more
to...
more of this season.
Yeah. More of this. I forgot that this episode had a plot.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm back with you.
So Lassiter accuses Miles of killing Archie, but the mayor counters that Miles was out of town at the time. Lassiter's confidence takes a hit, and his chances of becoming chief seem very, very slim at this point. Ooh. However, Scarlett, still alive, also Peggy Lipton. Come on,
Peggy Lipton,
like amazing.
Must say so, Peggy Lipton. Who, if y'all don't know, was a 60s sex icon because she became famous for The Mod Squad, which premiered in, take a guess, 1967.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. I love that. How great is she?
Oh no, she's incredibly sexy, incredibly
I know what you're talking about.
Kind.
So the scene where Scarlett is flirting with Lassiter and he's so just befuddled out of his mind, what her line is, I think you want me like a earth tortoise, a ground tortoise wants a crab apple. And he's just like, gah, gah, gah. But Peggy was the sweetest woman. And she passed away, like, I think 4 years after this.
Yeah.
2019. God rest her soul.
And but she always did the, like a tortoise wants a crab apple. I'm like, what's happening?
But we loved it.
And what does she have? She has a bod for sin. I have a bod for sin, the memory of an adult elephant. And I was like, wow.
I have a fun side degree of separation with Peggy. So just 4 years later, I did an episode of Angie Tribeca, directed by her daughter, Rashida Jones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Rashida and I talked a lot about how much Peggy set out. She just loved being on our set. And
oh, seriously?
She was just, and the crazy thing is that episode of Angie Tribeca aired 9 days before that thing that happened that was in all the papers.
Oh, wow. Exactly. What thing?
I had a stroke.
Someone just said? What thing?
What thing?
I had a stroke.
Oh, that thing.
I'm fine to worry about.
Nothing.
Nothing.
It's nothing.
Not a thing.
Angie Tribeca was good, and Peggy was her mother, wasn't
yes.
she? Peggy played her mother.
Peggy is her mother.
Peggy is her mother.
Yeah.
How interesting that the character last name was Jones, because she at the time she was married to Quincy Jones.
Quincy. Right. Okay, so I'm going to fly through some
okay,
of
well,
this.
So
bit.
One of my favorite scenes is as Peggy.
This episode
I'm
does
to leave
have a plot
for some major things coming up.
it's just gone off the rails, everybody. It's a mutiny on. So as Peggy's smoking, cutting to the shots of Margaret Cassidy Lawson is the flashback.
Yeah.
I just want to say how much fun that was. And then the drunk Archie coming in.
That's another line that got, let go through censors. How did that line get through? I don't know. That one is down, boy. Your lipstick showing.
Couldn't believe
but
it made it through all of the rewrites and into the episode.
Because they were 11. They don't understand.
They don't understand.
If you Google, your lipstick showing.
This is, yeah. Yeah.
It's, you can't really find.
No.
Well, what does that mean?
You can't. No.
Unless you have a bulldog.
Unless you have a dog.
And you're like, oh, Jesus.
I know what that means.
Down, boy, your lipstick's showing.
Yeah.
There was one in rewatching. I was like, wow, how do we get away with that one?
There was one that we didn't get with, though. I think the bulldog. You stole.
I steal as well.
Jules steals the little
yes,
bulldog.
Yes.
When they find the secret back.
Caruso's
little secret den where the phone was tapped, right?
Yes.
And then Juliet pops back in
and
you steal something. I know. You guys
it's
have
so
stopped
cute.
Stealing from
anyway.
The set.
All right.
But I think Gus said something like, oh, I'd tap that. Like he's tapping the phone, but he's like, oh, I'd tap that.
Yeah. That's very delay.
Yeah, that
one. This is a family show.
Hey, Troy and Kelly here, and we are the hosts of Beyond the Blinds podcast, where you'll get all your celebrity gossip needs.
We'll take you beyond the celebrity blinds and dive deeper into the dark side of Hollywood.
This podcast is full of scandal, intrigue, and gossip surrounding your favorite celebrities.
Listen now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't be rotted.
There was a lot of us being ourselves in this, I think, as well as playing other characters and then other characters.
Then other characters.
And then other characters,
yeah.
Yes. Okay, so Juliet confides in Sean about Karen's offer and her uncertainty about moving. They weigh the pros and cons, but she remains undecided. So Archie appears to Lassiter in a dream, insisting he was murdered and never drank alcohol. Woody confirms Archie's intoxication was due to barbiturates, reigniting Lassiter's determination. So at the lounge, okay, we've done the phone taps and that we know I steal. Okay, the team locates a tape revealing Scarlett's fear of Archie exposing her affair with Miles. They deduce Scarlett drugged Archie ran him off the road, which I got to do, and staged it as an accident to silence him.
So Scarlett was a murderer.
There it is.
So can I have a little fun fact for the Archie ghost scene?
Yeah.
So when Lassiter accuses Archie of being a drunken lunger, and Archie says, I've never had a drink in my life, except in Korea the night Stalin died, which that was not in the script. That was one of my ad-libs. That was based on a story. My high school history teacher told me, he was a Korean War veteran. And he remembered very distinctly him telling us how he and his company got plowed out of their mind the night they heard Stalin died.
Were they in Korea at the time?
They were in Korea, and they heard that Stalin died. So they're like, we're getting glug, glug, glug.
Wow.
I really wanted to throw that in. There's an amazing Korean.
Oh, and that another little thing from that one. Adieu. Remember me. What is it from?
It's from Hamlet. It's Hamlet.
It's from Hamlet.
Very
good. Very good.
I didn't get that.
That was the second time I'd said that line, because I played the ghost of Hamlet's father in college.
Wow. Look at you all.
Wow.
So sophisticated.
That one over the censors' heads as well.
This is wonderful. You got very lucky. Okay. So, head detective. Okay. So, Lassiter's disappointed when the mayor names Betsy Brannigan. Yeah. Not Juliet is a detective.
Not Juliet.
So we're
are we already to the scene now?
We're pretty here. I mean, Scarlett is arrested for Archie's murder, and Lassiter closes the case and impresses the mayor. I mean, we are here.
So basically. Many eggs I wanted to discuss, but we need to get here. Still, we need to get here.
We can still discuss eggs.
Yeah, all right, go. But we're here.
We also because that the scene, the driving off the road scene.
Yeah,
one of my all time favorite.
And that was a two-part scene because we wanted it to look like it's those bad driving scenes from like the 60s where they call it a poor man's pull.
Right.
PMP, the poor man's pull. You're not actually driving. You're in. You're going like this at a car.
Drive.
And you're in a warehouse.
When you do that, it's completely safe, by the way.
It's completely safe.
Like that, it's yeah. Like, it's, yeah.
Well, the wheels at that time, you know, it's like you could turn the wheel like this.
A lot of play in this wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the wheels wouldn't turn. But so we did half and half. You guys were in the warehouse in the fake cars.
Yeah.
Pretending driving. And like I remember one of the camera operators, like, this looks so fake. I'm like, it's supposed to look fake. It's 1967.
Shut up, you're fired.
But that's exactly what we wanted.
And that's exactly what we wanted.
Yes.
And then we had the actual driving off the roads.
Yes.
So cool. In the rain, in the nighttime, racing against time. So it looked good. You guys look good.
Looked fantastic.
With your little thing
wrapped around. I am my thing in my scarf. I know it. It was really fun. Oh my God. Wait, what other Easter? I feel like we have questions too, which I think might bring it into it. Okay.
I know, but we're here.
Okay, so we're at our scene. We're basically, you solved the case. You go to the mayor, and the mayor's like, man, I didn't know you had it in you. And because of this,
you're the chief of police.
You're going to be the chief of police. And also,
I have
to tell you about some things.
I have conditions
and you have to sit back down. And then one of the hardest scenes I've ever had to film in my entire life.
Should we just tell them what scene? Y'all know what scene we're talking about, right?
Oh yeah. Then we see Lassiter being greeted at the SBPD, which was already emotional because he is the new chief and he gets this very warm welcome.
He gets a slow-mo walk.
And Juliet, I'm there to cheer him on and welcome him into his new office.
But I just see as I walk in and watch this, like as soon as we go in the office, O'Hara's already crying because she's so happy for her. She's so proud of her partner.
Yeah, I am. I was like, ring, answer the phone. Ring. You're the chief. Answer the phone. This is your desk. I'm like yelling at you. And I don't know what is going on because you're like slamming stuff and closing the blinds. And I'm like, what? Why? And you keep trying to have a conversation with me. You play this so well. You know how when you're like, when you're so overwhelmed with emotion and you're frustrated because you're like, I have to do something that feels really uncomfortable and I really don't want to do it and I don't want to have to say this to somebody I love and like you end up just like
blurting it out.
The brilliant thing about your direction of the scene, because obviously it's Lassiter walks in the office, he knows what he has to happen, and so the actor's natural impulse is to go to his partner, is go to his scene partner. And my natural inclination was obviously to go to you because Kirsten just wouldn't let us be in the staging. She wouldn't let us be in the same space again. So you had me ping-ponging around the office, which just made it so much harder when that turn does finally come and I have to give her the news that...
We couldn't rehearse the scene. We couldn't. And we had talked to you about it. And I remember you said, you're Maggie and Tim. And we were like, we know that's the problem. We're gonna get meaning there was a lot happening. It was the final season of Psych. There was, you know, and this episode I think for us was, you know, you directing the hug, this story, all of us getting to like really have, I mean, everybody has a real moment in this episode, like big time. And then
it's becoming, when it's revealed as the sacrifice that Lassiter would make for O'Hara and that O'Hara would make for Lassiter. Like,
yeah,
just they love each other so much and just,
yeah. It was there was some real life Maggie and Tim there. Oh, Tim. Yeah.
Well, and
it was the hardest.
And I couldn't let you guys land until Lassiter said, I can't take you.
Yeah.
And
by then we were both gone.
Yeah. And it was bounce around the room, bounce around the room, keep avoiding, don't stop.
I was so mad at you.
My work here was done. And it was that punch in the gut when you finally get to land and he's like, he won't let me take you. And you see it on Juliet's face of, I remember, and you did it brilliantly because it shows of you were here, this was Juliet, bring, 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 bring. And when he's like, no, I can't take you.
He won't even play the game.
He won't, and you see Juliet go, and your center went low. You were up here for the rest of the scene, and then for the remainder of the scene, you found your grounding, and you found your center here, and that's when your decision came.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Every January feels like a fresh start. 365 blank pages just waiting to be filled. But let's be honest, resolutions can fade fast. Sometimes, instead of pushing through alone, you need a little support to help you stay on track. I know, I've been there, and that's why I love the idea of therapy being a part of that new chapter. Therapy has been such an important part of my personal growth, and I truly believe in its power to help navigate life's challenges. I always say the same thing. I think therapy just helps you understand yourself better. It helps you fortify that relationship so that when you're in other relationships or in the world in any way, you can actually come from a place of knowing who you are, whether it's boundaries, whether it's just, oh, I know why I'm reacting this way or doing this thing or whatever. I feel like therapy is so helpful for that. BetterHelp matches you with a licensed therapist you can connect with from the comfort of your own home. You can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, and you can even message your therapist anytime you need. It's therapy that works around your life, not the other way around. For me, therapy has been a way to reflect and reset, especially at the start of a new year. It's helped me prioritize what really matters and approach challenges with a clearer mindset. I think we all deserve that opportunity, and BetterHelp makes it easy to begin the process. Write your story with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/pineapple today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/pineapple.
Yeah.
And watching that, it was the moment.
In the moment. Yeah.
When these two friends of 8 years, because you said it as we were walking in, when you're like, I've spent the last 8 years with you. And that was us. I mean, we were spending 8 years together.
Yeah, it was literally us.
And then this was the last scene that you guys could do.
Yeah.
Because then you weren't sharing the screen anymore together.
It was so hard. That was like, that was so hard. Yeah. We had a really, and also I think you at the helm even brought it into a bit more of a whole, like, oh my God, this has been our home. This has been our family. Oh, I'm gonna cry now. And then it was ending. And because they have to, but just like the relationship, it was changing. It was moving. It naturally, that's the other thing I love about our show. I felt like every move on every transition and everything happened really organically in the way that, there was never a forced moment to like, oh, we're gonna force, you know, Lassiter into everything. Happened so in flow of like where our characters were actually going.
And you were right that there were opportunities for very, very real connections in this one.
Yeah,
with,
exactly.
And with Jules and Sean.
And then there's that scene.
Sean drops the act. Mm-hmm. Sean, you know, becomes real with this woman who he's had the relationship with. And now, does he still have a relationship with her? And what is that relationship going to mean?
Yeah.
And will it even exist beyond this point?
Yeah.
So having that real and then that real with I need to say goodbye and everything happens for a reason.
I mean, if you could do a flow chart of their friendship and just, it's, I mean, the arc of these characters is just incredible. To then have that moment where Lassiter just,
maybe,
just really what he says, it's like, you know, I'm sorry. This is what it was like on set. He has a line just like, you know, you're not just a partner, you're my confidant. But I mean, what the subtext is, you're my best friend. You're my only friend.
Yeah. And we had been for so long. And we still are. Just... Thank God.
Thank God. Thank God. Thank God.
Damn, Jesus.
You should see me watching the scene.
Killing me right now.
Well, and
I was like, I got to keep it together because we have a timer and I have to be the one in charge here. And I can't.
Well, and watching these two film that scene, truly, I was in a different room because we tried to keep it very locked off and the doors closed.
Yeah.
And these two were like, okay, quiet on set. If you don't have to be here, please don't be here, because this emotional is wrapping up 8 years of our lives, truly. And we knew that we were canceled and we knew that we were going on to different projects. And it was, I'm watching at a monitor and I'm watching their scenes and I had two cameras locked off. So what you're seeing is them acting and reacting to each other in real time.
Oh my God, I cannot believe we're just getting to that. So it's very rare in shooting scenes that you get to do. It's wonderful when there are two cameras and both actors can be in the same moment at the exact same time and follow the same flow and you can shoot it. It almost never happens though. Every time you're watching a scene between actors, it's usually shot one way to get one actor's side and then the other, you know, or there'd be like a three shot and we'd do that. And then we would go in and do all of our close-ups. Because you understood and gave us the gift of being in the exact same moment at the exact same time. So what you're seeing is not like cuts to different takes of things. That is exactly what happened in the moment between Tim and I in the scene. And because of the way you shot it, we got to actually have it.
You got to connect.
I gotta say, this is, not to do my own, this is the greatest thing I've ever done on screen. I mean, it's the most emotional, like, you know, if you're going to quote a little Shakespeare, you're going to quote some Hamlet. If you're holding...
Show off.
Hold a mirror... I mean, his speech to the player of, hold a mirror up to reality.
Yeah.
And the, I mean, because James had said, he's like, I know how you two feel about each other. I just wrote that. And it's what I mean, it's because I had used my scene partner that...
That's it.
I couldn't have done this with any other actors.
Same. It's because of... Exactly. I mean, we could talk about this. We could do an entire episode about that scene.
And the extension of that is to have Kirsten there helming us. Helming up.
Yeah. All right. I mean, you know, and then I drive away and bawl my eyes out.
Before you drive away, there was another one, though.
I know. That's another big heartbreaking scene.
No, that was hard. That was hard, and it was heartbreaking. And
Sean reaching over to the empty pillow just.
Oh.
Yeah. And that scene was longer. That scene, again... The 7 minutes gone.
Question about that. Yeah.
It was beautiful because you got to have your arc.
Yeah.
And they started that scene up here.
Yeah.
When you had in the beginning of that scene, at least a good minute to build up here, which you were great. Which you were just great.
I remember shooting that scene. I remember this episode like it was yesterday, every piece of it. And it's weird because sometimes I have to watch the episodes to like trigger the memory. And this one was like, oh, I could literally jump into it right now.
And then you were in the car, driving away.
Sobbing.
To Deb Talon.
Yeah, which was, yes.
Because you were a big, strong girl.
I was a big, strong girl. Not really. Not in that moment. in a weird way, there was a lot happening life-wise, I think, for me, too. That was
a little bit.
Very, very similar. Yeah, all those tears were real AF during that episode.
Like, for eight years, because O'Hara was such a badass and so... strong and such a strong woman. So when we see those moments of her being vulnerable and you being vulnerable, just again, just socks us all in the gut. So because you're so good at it.
Same. I mean, I would say even more so when to see Lassiter crack.
See like Lassiter cry.
Yes.
Broke me.
Same.
It was like you're just the strong stoic.
Yeah.
I'm gonna.
I think I texted about this. We didn't necessarily know this was gonna be our last scene, right?
I think we did.
I mean, we knew it was coming to an end, but...
It was coming, yeah.
So we didn't shoot this scene last.
No, we didn't. No.
We didn't.
But it wasn't so much... I mean, for me, it wasn't so much Maggie and Tim having our last scene together. It was the dialogue of Lassiter and O'Hara, where they are in their relationship.
Now. Yep. Yep. Yeah. All right, we got some questions.
Oh, my... Wait, did we just, like, finish the episode?
Oh, my God. We have questions, but yes. Uh-huh.
So you drive away, and we're all just, like, left in hanging off a cliff.
Yeah, it's awful.
Wow.
That's it. That's how it ended. You directed it?
I don't remember it. They're like, yeah, we need to get the helicopter shot if we're driving away. I'm like, yeah, okay, I guess if you say so.
I remember when we... I remember the... I remember shooting that.
I know.
I was like, I got in the car and I remember the song was already set of what it was going to be. It's and I got in the car and you and James played the song, which was really mean.
I know, it was mean, wasn't it?
And then I was like, yeah, this is weird. I don't think we had a ton of time to get. I was like, okay, I'm just going to sit down. I'm just going to have to like sit in the moment. And that song started and I was like, okay.
Well, I mean,
okay.
O'Hara wiping away tears kills everyone every time.
That's all we
Am
did.
Am I right?
We cried for days.
We cried for
all
days.
All right. All right. Let's do some fan questions because you all, I think we had 70 of them. And Oh my gosh. Okay. So, but we're going to only
We addressed
a few.
Some of them.
We've got
We addressed we some of them, right?
Okay. What? This was, okay. Which of the scenes, this is easy. Which scene of the episode was the hardest to shoot? Either breaking or because of emotions. Well,
done. Answered.
Duh.
Moved.
Okay.
Which we didn't even bother with, like, not trying to, like, it's not like you break a scene because you're laughing. Like, we were crying, so it's like, this is real. These characters are really crying. And we didn't even bother, like, trying to pretend that Lassiter's not crying here.
Well, and then we're just like, should we go again? And makeup is looking at us going, please don't.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, everyone's just bawling. Like, I think that was really good. Does anybody else want to go again? No, I think we got it. We should go.
Uncle Ciccone can't see in the camera because
it's all fogged up.
I mean, you all know us. You know us. You've seen the show. You get us. Like, you know, yes, we're all playing characters, but you feel what's going on. That's why you're here too. Like, that was always our goal, was like, I hope that the audience can feel the love we all have for each other. So this season and this episode in particular began the goodbyes.
It's the beginning of the beginning of the end
of family saying goodbye. Yeah. And you know, as we knew we were always gonna have to do, but this was
well, and we were back from hiatus. We only shot 10 this season.
That's right.
And we did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Right.
And then we went on a week-long break. And during that week-long break, we recorded all of Dulé's songs. So we put him in the studio, and he was recording the songs as Miles Ballour. And then we came back.
Yeah.
And we knew, we're back. We only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I have chills.
And then that was it.
That was it.
So that was the beginning of our goodbye.
Yeah. Those are the moments you just want to like eat everything up. Okay, I'm gonna do some more questions, I promise.
Fine.
Kirsten. Big question.
Go.
What was your favorite part of directing?
The editing.
I thought you were going to say us, but okay, it's fine, you know.
Well, it's because she got to watch her performance over and over and over and over and over.
Okay, take it back. Editing. Ask me again.
Editing, no. Tell me about the editing.
The editing process, yes, because I did get to watch it over and over and over again, and I got to watch the pieces come into place, the story. I mean, hopefully as a director, you kind of like shoot and you see what you've been hearing, what you've been reading. And there's two different types of learners, I think. When they read something, do you see it as you read it or do you hear it as you read it? And I think it's kind of like, it's one of those things, if you read a book, if you read a script, can you see it before your eyes or do you hear it? And there's not a wrong answer.
Right.
But I think for me, I see it.
Yeah.
And so when I was in the editing suite and I was like, oh my God, it worked.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I saw it. And there it is. And there they are.
And incredible. The subtext was, oh my God, I really directed the shit out of this episode.
Well, and my editor,
yeah,
the editor was great. And because during the Miles Ballour sequence, he wasn't getting it right of like where I wanted the cuts to be. And he said, I felt badly. And he's like, snap it. And I'm like, it has to be a music. The cuts are a music beat. And having that come to life, it was just watching you guys over and over and over
again.
Was
this Crabtree?
No, it wasn't Crabtree, which would have been a gift as well. I can't remember the editor's name on this one.
Maybe that's good right at this moment.
We'll edit this part out of the show.
Wait.
You're all sworn to silence.
That was good.
We answered this. I was about to say, did we know this was the final scene between Lassiter and Juliet? We did not. Let's see. How many takes did we have to do? How many takes did we do of that last
scene? For that last scene?
Yeah.
I think I only gave you two because they literally had to redo your face, Maggie. There was, and
I had to put my mask back on.
You had to put your mask back on. There was mascara, and you can kind of see. Sometimes I chose like the second of the cuts, and you were like just a little like glassy eyed, and you know maybe Lassiter was choking back stuff before he was ready to, you know, at the top of the scene. But I think we could only do it twice.
Wow.
Because we were all a wreck.
My eyes are completely bloodshot, like every close up, because I'm just screaming.
Yeah, don't push in. Don't push in.
So I've been told we have to wrap up. I'm going to do one more question because this is hilarious.
Do it.
I know. There's so many questions. You all, these are all so good. And there's so much to talk about with
we
this
should,
episode.
We'll do another one.
We'll do another one. Absolutely. I mean, we have to. Why do you think Juliet left without saying goodbye? I remember screaming at my TV. That's what the question says. So mad. Like, you jerk. I know why.
Why do you think?
I think because she, in that, I think with the exchange that they had, there was something about, she intuitively knew that there was a lot to still figure out in Santa Barbara for Sean, and also knew that the best thing for her was going to go and be with the chief, and that the longer they kind of did that, the harder it would be on him, actually. And she, I think, needed, in order in that moment to fulfill, to fully step into the to whatever the next thing was going to be, she had to go alone.
She had to get him to grow up a little bit too.
Yeah, and make him deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not you can't make this decision for me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to cut you loose.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like if you let it go and it comes back, then it's meant to be.
Yeah. I think so.
But you didn't want to say goodbye.
I'm sorry you screamed at your TV. I'm sorry. It feels like I was a real jerk in that moment. What? He was not gonna get up at 4 a.m. Also, I knew that. I was like, really? Really? I know how you are in the morning. I'm going to go alone. It's okay. No.
Wait, and you were leaving at like 4 a.m.?
I don't know about that.
Was I making you come to
work
that
day?
I feel like
you need to be here at 6 a.m. You need to be here at 8 a.m.
I mean, like if you left from Santa Barbara, maybe before traffic, I guess you could pull in a full work day and you know, like just not rush, you know,
maybe
brush your teeth.
On purpose. And she knew Sean would sleep through the alarm. Maybe it was on purpose. Anything else we want to say? Because we actually have to wrap up. We could talk about this episode forever.
This episode has now usurped all of us as my favorite episode.
Yeah, I think so. You know what? Coming back to it as well, I think this is my number one. In fact, I know it is my number one.
Yeah, it's now definitely
everyone across the board in this episode, and also what it stands for. It's just so good. All right. What else?
Oh, gosh. There's so many stories. We haven't even talked about, like, James's accent.
Oh.
Yes.
Did you see how I just went over that?
Yeah, you're just like, oh. His
He's
accent.
So funny.
His pink jacket.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's so many
the
little,
stash.
Like, the stash.
That mustache.
The mustache. Your close-ups of your mouth.
Oh, I love that scene.
You know, there's so many wonderful, wonderful written things in this episode. And it was like, it was a gift. It was a real gift.
And it was a gift that you directed us.
I got lucky.
In this. It was, we were lucky.
We were so lucky.
We were so lucky.
Even our core amazing directors couldn't have made us feel as comfortable as you did with us.
Well, and I was honored for that they gave me this episode, that we kept this goodbye, or the beginning of the goodbyes, in the family.
Yeah.
That was special. You didn't have to explain it to any other director. You didn't have to explain it to someone who was just there visiting for 1 week. It was like, we all knew it for 8 years.
Yeah.
So this was a real honor.
And they're going to kick us out. And we love you all. We love you so much. Thank you for being here. This is our final stop of the tour. Honestly, seeing all of you and the conversations we had today were so special. I love doing these conventions.
I think we should do it again tomorrow.
Come see us at 11?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, we love you, psychos. Thank you so much. And I also want to say a huge thank you to GalaxyCon. To the crew here, so
thank you, thank you, you guys. Thank you.
You're amazing. You're amazing. The whole crew back here and everybody, they've been so great for all of these stops on the tour. So we just want to say thank you to them as well. Yes. Okay. All right. All right.
We love you. Thank you so much. Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Psychologists Are In. Please follow us on our Instagram at The Psychologists Are In and our Patreon, patreon.com/psychologistsarein, for ad-free episodes and full video episodes. We love you, psychos. We will be back with fresh episodes next week.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.